You take your Bibles, please, turn over to the book of 1 Thessalonians, 1 Thessalonians, the fourth chapter. I think that you're familiar with the rapture of the church. I think you know what that is. That's when Jesus comes and takes his children immediately off of this earth up to be with him forever. You've heard also of the revelation of Jesus Christ, and that is, of course, when the tribulation period, the 7 years of tribulation period, is over. Then the revelation, Jesus will come back and he will set up his kingdom, and we call that the revelation. Those two are not the same. One happens before the rapture happens, before the tribulation period, and then the revelation happens at the end of the tribulation period. So just kind of wanted to get those things in your mind and remember those things. It's very, very important that we look for the rapture of the church. You, if you're in 1 Thessalonians, I want to just read about three verses there. Verse 16, very familiar. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we, which are alive and remain, shall be caught up. Remember that, be caught up. Together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. He's talking about that those who will remain alive when Jesus comes, and they are alive, they will be changed, and they will be caught up with the dead that has been saved, and they'll be raised, and we'll all be caught up to be with the Lord forevermore. That's why he says, comfort one another with these words. It's a marvelous thing, wonderful thing. And we need to take mention of that in our hearts, I think, daily. We need to remember that Jesus is coming again, and that could be today. Absolutely could be today. And so we look forward to it. But the word rapture there in verse number 17, to be caught up, is that word. We use that. The word rapture is not found in the Bible, but it means to be caught up, to be seized by force. Jesus is coming back, and he's going to seize by force his children. And no one can stop him. He's going to take us home to be with him forevermore. So anyway, let's go over to John, the Gospel of John, the 10th chapter. And let me read verse 27 and 28. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. Again, that's another word. The word pluck is another word that we could use for the rapture. He said it's going to be impossible for anyone to pluck us out of his hand. That's a marvelous thing, folks. These are wonderful truths. No one can pluck us out of the hand of God. Okay? Just remember that. You're in his hands. You've trusted Jesus as your Savior. If you have done that, then you're his, and there'll be no one can pluck you out of the hand of God forever. See, those are wonderful, wonderful truths. Let's go over to the book of Acts, the 23rd chapter of the book of Acts. 23rd chapter of the book of Acts and the 10th verse. And he says, "And when there arose a great dissension, the chief captain, fearing lest Paul should have been pulled in pieces of them, commanded the soldiers to go down and to take him by force from among them and to bring him into the castle." Again, to take them by force is another indication of the word rapture. That's what Jesus will do when he comes for his children. He will seize us by force, and no one can stop him. Nothing can stop him. No one can stop him. Okay? Now, let's go over to the book of Matthew, the 13th chapter of the book of Matthew. Verse number 19. "When anyone heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one and catcheth away that which was sown in his heart. This is he which receiveth seed by the wayside," where it says catcheth away that which was sown in his heart. That's where Satan comes and grips and takes and removes that which was sown in the hearts of individuals. It's another just word that can be used there that would be the same as the rapture. That means that God is going to come and take us. He's going to remove us from this earth. Now, I just kind of wanted to go over those things so that you would have in your mind about the rapture of the church. I want you to make it an important part of your life. I want you every day, if you will, try very hard every day to think about Jesus could come today. And he could. And it's something that we as God's children ought to remember. Every single day of our life is a day when Jesus Christ could return and come and take us from this place. Amen. Now, isn't that joyful? Isn't that a comfort to your hearts to know that Jesus Christ could come today? See, he could come today. So let's remember that, you see. And when that happens, we will be regathered together with the Lord forever and ever, and with the loved ones that was saved. Amen. We'll be gathered once again to be with the Lord forever and forever, you see. He will come and snatch us off of this earth and take us off of this earth, take us to be with him forever, and there is no one can stop him. No one. Can't be done. You see, he's coming again. He said over in 1 Corinthians, the 15th chapter, he said, "We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed." It said all be changed. "In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed." That's in 1 Corinthians, the 15th chapter. Now, say, "Brother Ross, what are we talking about?" Well, we're talking about the rapture of the church. You see, he won't set foot on this earth during that time. He won't set foot on this earth. He'll come and he'll call us up, and we'll meet him in the air. If anyone's don't like flying, now I don't like flying. I'm not afraid to fly. I just don't like flying. I've flown before. Don't care if I ever do again until the rapture. That'll be all right. But we're interested in that. When that happens, it'll be all right. Going to happen in a twinkling of an eye. So it'll be just fine. The people that are left behind You see, the people that are left behind are the ones who refuse to receive Christ as their Savior. I want you to remember that. If a person has not been saved, they will be left behind. Okay? They will not go. Do you understand that? That's important that you understand that. You see, because anyone who's not saved will go through the tribulation period. Okay? That's important. It's important for us to remember that, you see. And anyway, if just say someone in here is not saved. I don't know that. I can't read your heart. But you need to take care of that today. You need to take care of that today if you're not saved. Because you may think, your good works and your church membership and confirmations and burning of candles and praying to idols and will get you to heaven, but they will not. There's only one thing, and I want you to listen. You've heard it a lot of times, but if you're God's child, you don't mind to hear it again. Jesus Christ is the way, and he's the only way. He's the way, he's the truth, and he's the life. Amen? And there is absolutely no other way to get to heaven except through Christ. Amen? Now, if you haven't got that taken care of, you need to get it taken care of today. Because what I'm saying is true. It could happen today. And if you're not saved, you will not go with him. Okay? See, I'm just telling you that. I'm just encouraging you, folks. Listen, you need to get saved today. Jesus said that he's the way, he's the truth, he's the life. And he also says that no man cometh to the Father but by me, speaking of him. That's the only way. It's the only way. There is absolutely no other way to get to heaven. Now, do you understand that? Do you agree with that? Amen. All right. So remember, if you're not saved, you're taking a big chance, because Jesus could come today. Amen. Oh, come on. Amen. That's a wonderful thing that Jesus could come today. And if he does, we just need to be ready. Amen. Just need to be ready. And if you have called upon him, made him your Savior, by telling him you're an old rotten sinner. Yeah, that's what we are. And that we're an old sinner and we need to be saved by the blood of Jesus Christ, shed blood of the Son of God. And you've called upon him, asked him to forgive you and to give you eternal life. Then you're ready for heaven. Amen. All right, so anyway, remember that, you see, because there is absolutely no other way to get to heaven except through Jesus Christ. All right? All right. Yeah, when, you say, Brother Ross, is the church going to go through the tribulation period? No, it's not. We're going to start, I believe, next week, on some messages, what's going to take place during the tribulation period. What's going to take place? This is very serious, serious business. And when a country goes to war with another country, they call their ambassadors home. Now, God tells us in the Word of God in Corinthians that we are his ambassadors. And he's going to call us home before war starts, before the tribulation starts. Okay? So just remember that. No matter what anybody tells you, the scripture's very plain on that. We'll go through some here in a moment. But he's going to call us home, call his ambassadors home to be with him. All right? Now, let's go over to 1 Thessalonians, the first chapter. of 1 Thessalonians, the 10th verse. Well, let's read verse 9. And they themselves show of us what manner of entering in we had unto you, and how ye turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God, and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come. The wrath to come, he's talking about the day of tribulation, or the period of tribulation. And he said he's saving us from that day of wrath. That's a promise of God. And we won't have to, as God's child, we as ambassadors will be called home. Look at 1 Thessalonians, the 5th chapter. I'm going to go ahead and read starting at verse number 1. Listen very closely to these verses of Scripture. But of the times and seasons, brethren, you have no need that I write unto you, for yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. For when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them, as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. He says, but ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that that day should overtake you as a thief. You see, he differentiates between the world and the lost. There, Jesus coming is going to be as a thief in the night. But for us, it's not. We're looking for him. We may not know what day he's coming. We certainly don't, but we're looking for him. We're waiting on him. And he says, and ye are all the children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. You see, that's what we're supposed to do. We're to watch and be sober. We're to be very serious about this. We should look for Christ every day, that this will be the day when Jesus will come. And he says, for they that sleep, sleep in the night, and they that be drunken are drunken in the night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet the hope of salvation. For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ. He said he's not appointed us to wrath. No, we're waiting on our salvation to be removed. And he says, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. Wherefore, comfort yourselves, you see, together, and edify one another, even as also ye do. And we beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor among you and are over you in the Lord, and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake, and be at peace among yourselves. Did you hear what he said there? Be at peace among yourselves. We're to be at peace amongst us. Amen? That's what God says. That's what he's telling every church member. To be at peace with the brethren. Amen? That's what he's saying. That's what God is saying. That's what we're required to do. Amen? Sure we are. And he said, be at peace with one another. Okay? All right. So why? Because he's delivered us from the wrath which is to come. Now, again, let's go over to the book of Romans, the 8th chapter of the book of Romans. I said the 8th, yeah, the 8th chapter, yes. And let's just read verse number 1. He says, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. He says, for the Christian there is no condemnation. In other words, if we had to go through the tribulation period, I want to tell you, I don't know if I would want to look at this verse of Scripture and say, what is the blessed hope? I mean, you're going to have to go through the wars and the famines and everything that the tribulation group is going to have to go through. No, that's not a blessed hope. The blessed hope is the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ. That's the blessed hope. And again, I just want you to remember this. Amen. Every day, look for him. Just expect him to come every day. Amen. All right. Now, over in Revelation, the 3rd chapter, of the book of Revelation, the 10th verse, he says, because thou hast kept the word of my patience, I also will keep thee from the hour of temptation, which shall come upon all the world to try them that dwell upon the earth. Once again, he's telling us he's keeping us from that hour of temptation, that hour of tribulation period. He's keeping us from that. You see, we're not a part of that. Why? We're his ambassadors. And he's going to call us home in a twinkling of an eye. Boy, that's quick. Amen? That's quick. It's going to happen in just a twinkling of an eye. It's going to be over. And we'll be with him forever, evermore. Now, in the first 3 chapters of the book of Revelation, I think, if I remember right, it's 19 times the church is mentioned. First 3 chapters of the book of Revelation. Okay? All right? Now, in chapter 6 through 18 and part of 19, the church is not mentioned. Why? Because that's dealing with the tribulation period. And we're not there. Okay? Now, I'm trying to encourage you. I'm trying to help you, folks. That's a marvelous thing. That's a marvelous, marvelous thing. You think about it. Don't have to go through the tribulation period. God's people don't have to go through that. That's encouraging. I'm trying to comfort one another with those words. Amen? So you look for Jesus to come. You expect him to come. And just be on the look for him. We're not part of that 6th chapter through the 18th chapter. We're not part of that. Church is not there. Okay? All right. Anyway, in Titus 2:13, they're looking for that blessed hope and glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. We are looking for the blessed hope. Well, why is the rapture so important to us? I mean, it really is. We've let that kind of trail off in our lives, and we don't look for the rapture like I think we should. I think we ought to look for it every single day. I've already said that. But we ought to look for Jesus Christ to come and take his children out of this earth. And so anyway, what it does is it challenges us to be pure. If you knew Jesus was coming in the next 5 minutes, how would you like to live until he gets here? Amen? Sure. You see, it challenges us to live pure lives. Okay? That's what it does. And then also, it helps us to be prepared, to know that he's looking, he's coming soon. That helps us to be prepared. Over in 2 Peter, the 3rd chapter, 14th verse, and I'll read it to you. He says, "Wherefore, beloved, seeing that you look for such things, be diligent that ye may be found of him in peace, without spot and blameless." Since Jesus could come today, we want to be blameless. We want to be at peace with the brethren. You understand? And we want to look for him and realize that he could come at any moment. Okay? That's important. See, that's important that you keep that in your mind. He says also in Revelation 3:11, "Behold, I come quickly. Hold that fast which thou hast, that no man take thy crown." You realize that you can lose some crowns and rewards? I mean, do you realize that? According to the scriptures, you can lose some of those crowns, some of those rewards? Well, you don't want to do that. Amen? You don't want to do that. You know, you want to hold fast to those and keep them. Amen? So the rapture is very, very important. So keep a lookout for it. He says in 1 John 2nd chapter 28th verse, "And now, little children, abide in him, that when he shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming." Once again, the rapture keeps us on guard and ready for his coming. See? You understand? I mean, do you really understand that we need to live in such a way that is proper and honorable to our Lord, because he's coming again? Could be today. All right? And then also, you know, the fact that we know he's coming prepares us today for tomorrow. If you just know he's coming, well, what are we looking for? We're looking for that blessed hope and glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. See, we're looking for him. Amen? Amen. So won't that change the way you live? I mean, won't that help you live in such a way, you see, that that would be pleasing unto him? You understand what I'm saying? Sure. All right. And then in 1 Thessalonians, and let's turn there to 1 Thessalonians, the fifth chapter of 1 Thessalonians. And fifth chapter, verse number 4. Through 6. "But ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that day should overtake you as a thief. Ye are all the children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober." I know we read that a while ago, but what he's saying is, if Jesus is coming, you and I need to keep watching and be sober. You know, I know we have, you know, a lot of fun. We kid each other and kind of, but I think sometimes we're too much that way. I think God wants us to be very sober about the fact that Jesus Christ is coming again. And, you know, that could be today, you see. So we need to just keep that in our mind. And I think also, if you know that Jesus is coming again, it'll cause you to have a desire to pass the gospel on. They tell us that there was a poll taken by that pollster, and I'm trying to take what his name is, George. Anyway, I'm not sure. They said that he took a poll many years ago, and it showed that the churches that really believed in the imminent return of Jesus Christ were the ones who was getting the gospel out. They were the ones that was passing on the gospel and teaching other people and trying to reach other people. If they wasn't really looking for Christ to come, they just wasn't that busy about it. Just kind of passed it on. So I'm saying to you and I, we need to realize that Jesus Christ is absolutely coming again, and that we need to be ready for him to come. I think I've got a couple more minutes. It challenges us also to participate in the work of God. We've never had that in our life where we just didn't go to church. I mean, when we got saved, we got saved, and we've just always been in church. Always have been. You say, hasn't some things happened in churches? Well, sure. Satan's always mean, and he'll always do things, but that has nothing to do with us and our dedication to the Lord. We go to church because we're God's children. God's children, okay? And so we go to church. We're here this morning. We was here last Sunday. And what I'm saying is just keep on going. Just keep on loving God, walking with the Lord. Just keep on, just dig in, and just love God, and just keep on going. Okay? Okay? Sure. And so anyway, it'll cause us to not forsake the gathering of ourselves together. Okay? Now, also, it challenges us to be patient. The Bible says in James 5:8, "Be ye also patient. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord draw nigh." We need to learn to be patient. Just be patient with one another. Okay? Amen. Just learn to be patient with one another. You can't help what others do, but you can be patient. Okay? Why? Because Jesus is coming. That's why he's coming again. And then he tells us, and of course, and I think I'm going to skip that one. I'm almost finished here. It challenges us to have proper priorities. And let me read this verse in Colossians, the 3rd chapter. "If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affections on things above, not on things on the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory." What it does is the coming of Christ helps us to keep our priorities right. Is your love for the things of this earth more important than the things above? You understand what I'm saying? Folks, listen. Our priorities must be on heaven things. That's where our priorities must be. That's where you've got and I've got to set our affections, on the things of, not on this earth, but in heaven. Okay? That's got to be first place. Okay? Why? Well, Jesus is coming. Folks, he could come today. I mean, he could. He could come today. All these things will be gone. Won't amount to nothing. You understand what I'm saying? So I'm just trying to tell you that the rapture is going to happen very soon, and our wonderful Lord and Savior Jesus Christ is coming soon. And if for some reason you're not saved, you're not born again, trust Christ today. Trust him. Call upon him. Ask him to become your Savior, that you're a sinner. You need help. You need Jesus to forgive you of your sin, and put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, and just be ready to meet him. All right? Let's pray. Father, thank you again. You're good to us. You're kind to us. Thank you, Father, for helping us this morning. Help us to be more, Lord, realizing that you could come even today. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.